Samir la'akum. So the first thing to get to understand when working with Amir la'akum is that Amir la'akum has two very essential parts to it. There's the Amira part, just the actual speaking to a non-Jew, asking him, can you turn on the light, or can you turn on the air conditioner, or can you turn off the light, whatever it is. We'll discuss all these cases. That's one aspect. And then there's the second aspect to it, which is, are you allowed to benefit from what the non-Jew does? So we're gonna kind of, throughout the whole sugya, you're going to see that what we're going to do is, we're going to always be differentiating between the two things. We're going to be discussing, is it mutter to ask the non-Jew? Is it mutter to ask the Nachri, can you turn the light on? And if it's not mutter to ask him or her, what can you do to circumvent that Isser Amira? And then we're going to discuss, if the non-Jew actually does something for you, can you benefit from it? Because those two things are always going to be linked, and that's the way every time you have an Amira La'akum Shaila, you always have to really cover those two points. Number one, is it mutter to ask the non-Jew to do the malacha? Number two, if he does it even without you asking, are you allowed to benefit from it? That's a very short akdama to the sugya. The next thing is, I'm going to go through this really quite extensively here, but again, this share is going to be mostly introduction, you know, very source-based introduction, just to show us what we're talking about. But one of the most common misconceptions with regard to Amir la'akum is Amir la'akum is not a heter, Amir la'akum is an isser. In other words, often people will say it's asr to do something on Shabbos, whatever, it's one of the lama tesavas melachas, or it's nisumi drabanan on Shabbos. So since it's asr to do it, we could rely on the heter of Amir la'akum. Since we can't do it ourselves, there's that lingering heter out there called Amir la'akum, asking an akum, a non-Jew, an achri, to go ahead and do something for you on Shabbos. Now, indeed, what we're going to see here today is exactly the opposite. The Amir la'akum is an isser midrabanan, an isser that Chazal instituted. In other words, the default would have been that it's always mutter to ask the non-Jew, and there is, now that the Chazal instituted this gezera, now we have an isser of Amir la'akum. And we're going to see that Chazal fortified that Isser with an Isser to be nana from it. So when we discuss what's going to be mutter to ask a non-Jew to do for you on Shabbos, we have to figure out which cases is there no Isser Amir La'akum. So now to start, we have to define, we have to understand what is the Isser Amir La'akum. Where does it come from? Now by way of introduction, I'm going to show you that the possibility that it's Nisim Midaraisa, but again, just realize that ultimately, the way that we're going to Paskin is that it's an Issa Midrabanan, and it's going to be very important to differentiate between the Issa Midaraisa and Issa Midrabanan. So the first source where it can come from, that there would be an Isser to ask a non-Jew to do Malacha for you on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, comes from a Pasuk in Shemais. Pasuk in Shemais is actually Parshas Bo, it's talking about the Yom Tov of Pesach. It says, "Uvayom Harishain." The first day, Mikra Kodesh is called the day of Kodesh. Uvayom Hashvi, Mikra Kodesh. On the seventh day, it's also called a sanctified day. Yielachem, Mikra Kodesh Yielachem. It should be a time of kedusha. And then it says, "Kol malacha lo ye'asa behem." Don't do any malacha. Ach, asher yochel chal nefesh u'levad yasa lechem. So this pasuk is a pasuk which, literally every word in it is darshan. This is where we learn all of the halachas of Yom Tov from. But if you look at the nekudas on the words kol malacha lo ye'ase, Rashi says lo ye'ase behem afilo de'echer. So Rashi tells us that not only is there an isra to do malacha on Yom Tov, but the word ye'ase, which doesn't refer specifically to the action of doing it, is it should not be done. Lo ye'ase. Kol malacha lo ye'asa behem. No malacha should be done on that day. What that means, when it comes to teach us, is not only is there an isser for you to do the malacha, but there's also an isser for others to do the malacha for you. Now, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but the Malbim explains where Rashi got this from, and ultimately from this Rashi, it would seem that there's an isser to have anybody do a malacha for you on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, really. It's an usher to have somebody do malacha for you, and that would make isser, the isser of Amir la'akum and Isser Midaraisa. If you look at the Ramban right there on that pasuk, he quotes Rashi, he says, Pirush Rashi, afilo de acherim. V'loi havinoisi zeh. I could not understand what's going on here. Shema acherim, ha'elu Yisrael. Who are these other people that Rashi is referring to, that Rashi says it's aser for them to do malachim for you on Shabbos? Shema acherim, ha'elu Yisrael. Heim atzim uzharmali. You don't need a pasuk to teach me that I'm not allowed to ask a Jew to do malachim for me on Shabbos. In as much as I can't do the malacha, he can't do it. We don't need to be a rocket scientist to understand you can't ask another Jew to do malacha for you on Shabbos. And that, but not only that, v'ein ani muzher b'malachti shloiti yasa yada. It's also for him to do it. It's also for me to do it. And it's not my mitzvah to make sure that he does not mechal Shabbos or Yom Tov. So it can't be that this pasuk is teaching me not to ask another Jew. Ella, she'im mata isabis. Or unless I am actually getting him, I'm tricking him. Muzer alem ashum lifnei yivlus yitei michshol b'malachas oisa atzmai. So the Ramban basically writes, maybe just put something by the door, put a chair out there because it keeps getting locked. Okay, so the Ramban continues. He says, number one, asking someone else to do malacha for me on Shabbos, if he's a Jew, is usur because he's not allowed to do the malacha. And the only way I can possibly ask him to do a malacha for me on Shabbos is by tricking him. Right? I'll trick him, he won't know that he's doing a malacha. If that's the case, says the Ramban, you don't need a special isser for that. That's the isser of lifnei yivel yisitei michshol. So again, the Ramban is just unhappy with this lo ye'asa. Who's he referring to? So he continues, v'im acherim halalu gayim. If these acherim that we're referring to, that Rashi's referring to, are non-Jews, ein anu muzharim b'tara malachas shel gay klal lo biyom lebishavus. Nowhere in the Torah do we find that there's an isser for a guy to do malacha for me on Shabbos. So in other words, Rashi, you have a good question why the pasuk says lo ye'asa. And again, we're not going to spend too much time on it, but the Malbim explains why the word lo ye'asa was completely out of place in the pasuk. So you decided that the word lo ye'asa comes to tell you that you can't have a non-Jew, you can't have another person do malacha. So says the Ramban, it can't be that it's coming to talk about a Jew because it's lifnei to have him do malacha for me. And it can't be a non-Jew because what's the problem with that? There's no issue mid rights to have a non-Jew do malacha for me on Shabbos. El also, he says, sheyesh ba shavus midivrayim al ha'amira shalanu k'maisha amru amir l'gay shavus v'zedavar mevur b'gemara. Says the Ramban, the issur to ask a non-Jew to do malacha for me on Shabbos is an issur shavus, it's an issur midrabanan. We're going to see soon what a shavus is. But again, the first thing is Rashi seems to present it as an issur midaraisa. Now it obviously can't be an issur midaraisa because there's nowhere in the Torah that it says that there's an issur to ask a non-Jew to do malacha for me on Shabbos. So we'll see soon how we understand that. Must be it's an asmachta. Now Rashi in Maseches Shabbos, we'll get to this Mishnah a little bit later in the sugya. Rashi says ein oimel lekabei. It's referring to a person who has his house goes up on fire. He's not allowed to tell a non-Jew, Kabe, put the fire out. Rashi explains, why can't I ask a non-Jew to put the fire out? Rabbanan, gazer al ha'amir l'nachri mishmishvus. Rabbanan, Chazal, asered us to ask. They forbade us from asking a non-Jew to do malacha for us on Shabbos. Why mishmishvus? Mishum Shavus. Shavus literally means, from the term of Shabbos, we should rest. Now I just am bringing in a couple of sources here to show us what the concept of Shavus is. We know that this Nisr of this, so there are.
We see from that Rashi obviously is.
Right, yeah, so that's why we're going to have to understand. Even Rashi, who explained earlier that it's learned from the Pasuk, can't understand that it's Nisr Midaraisa. And it's simple, because there's no place in the Torah where it says it. So we'll have to understand that it's an Asmachta Mikra. An Asmachta Mikra means it's Nisr Midrabanan, but the Chachamim found the Pasuk to be Saimach the Isr Am, but ultimately the strength of it is in Issur Midrabanan. Now, just to understand the concept of a Shavus, I'm quoting to you over here from the Aruch HaShulchan in two different places where he explains to us what a Shavus and Shabbos is. And just by way of background, we know that there are Issur Midrabanan. We know that throughout all Dinim in the Torah, there are some things which are to do which are Issur Midrabanan. Now, exactly what an Issur Midrabanan is subject, again, to a whole machlekes Ramban. Rambam, it's a big sugi, we're not getting into that now. But now, over here, in the Aruch HaShulchan, he writes, V'kach kasav ritzah, source number 5. Aruch HaShulchan is in Sim Reshma Gimel, in Sif Gimel. He writes as follows. V'kach kasav ritva b'shem haramban. Ritva writes the name of the Ramban. D'kabbalah b'yadeinu. We have this Kabbalah. Sheshavusei Shabbos. The dinim midrabanan on Shabbos. Einam kishare isurei drabanan. They're not like any other isur midrabanan. Elahem ki isurei Torah. They carry the level of an isur midrabanan. Sorry, of an isur midaraisa. And just to skip his raya, he writes, Ella Iker, the understanding over here is, Iker in Yehuda al Malacha Mamish. On Malacha Mamish, which is one of the 39 Avos Malachas that are listed in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Ayin Gimel. Al Malacha Mamish Chayva Torah Skila, Vala Shavusim Loi Chayva Skila. Al Yisurin Isra Gomer Kiyasur Torah. Very, very strong lashon from the Aruch HaShulchan, where he writes, when we find an Isser Shavus on Shabbos, which is an Isser Midrabanan on Shabbos, it carries the weight of an Isser Midaraisa, but the difference between an Isser Midaraisa and a Shavus on Shabbos is just whether or not there's a Chiyuv Skila.
So, do we give him Malkus?
No.
No. So he's
not Chayav Misa. No, he's not Chayav Misa, not Chayav Skila. No, it's just...
Not from
the Eastern. Right. So we'll see exactly how, or again... Just in Sif Gilman, he writes, "Vini b'shavus Shabbos yeshamir la'akum shavus v'hen shakom malachas also lano latzes also lano loymar la'akum sheyasa ba'adenu bein shnem le b'shabbos bein shnem le kodesh shabbos sheyasa b'shabbos bein shnem le b'shabbos sheyasa achar shabbos." In other words, he's continuing to the halachas, but he writes the iser of amir la'akum is an iser shavus, and what's the weight of this iser? It's an Issa Midrabanan, which carries the weight of an Issa Midaraisa. Now, just in another point, in Simon Shinches, Aruch HaShulchan writes, similar, Simon Shinches Siftal, he writes, Dini kvar bi'arnu b'reish Simon Reish Mem Gimel, Tishvusei Shabbos einon doimus l'kol Yisuri Drabanan. He's quoting what we just read earlier. The Yisur Midrabanan on Shabbos are not similar to any other Yisur Midrabanan. The Haim Kimidei Raisa. They're like Dei Raisa. The Dover Zeb Bir Lanu Rambam Bereish Parak Chafalof Shekasev Nemar Batara Tishbais. He's explaining, where does this come from? The Pasuk says, Tishbais. Afilu Devarim She'ena Malacha. A person needs to rest on Shabbos, even from some things that are not codified in the Mishnah as one of the 39 Avos Malachas. Nevertheless, chayva lishbais mihem udvarim harbe ein she'asru chacham mishum shvus. There are a lot of things that Chazal asserted on Shabbos because of this concept of tishbais of shvus. The pirush of Agi Mishnah. This is really the key. Shatayra masro lechachamim ayin sham. In other words, the Torah gave to the chachamim the right to include certain things in the mitzvahs assay of Tishbos. He writes where it's underlined, "Hu b'shas matan Torah tzivolanu Moshe Rabbeinu l'kol shvusei Shabbos." At the time of matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu taught us all the shvusei Shabbos. Al pi Hashem v'atayra kolah b'lashon Tishbos de'beloy hashvusim einkan shvusei klal. So again, I don't want to get too carried away with this topic, but basically what Chazal saw was that in order for us to safeguard the Malachas of Shabbos, there were certain things they had to institute. Now, at the time of Matan Torah, we were given the Torah, Torah Shabbat Sav, Torah Shabbat Peh, it was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu, and included in that were the Lamatas of his Malachas. But at the same time, Hashem also added in to the mitzvah of Shavisa Shabbos, the mitzvah of Tishbais, the extra word of Tishbais, and Shabbos, Shabbosain, all these extra words we find referring to resting from Malacha on Shabbos, and included in all those words were all those other Malachas that were included in this. And one of those are Amir L'Akam. So clearly the way that the Aruch HaShulchan is taking this, it seems like Rashi as well, is that it's an Isra Midrabanan, it's going to be classified as a Shavus, but a Shavus is not just a regular Isra Midrabanan, it's an Isra Midrabanan which carries the weight of an Isra Midaraisa. So now we have two. So far we have two sources for the Isra of Amira.
If that was the intention, so then why didn't we get skila on it? why isn't it as, I mean, if it's as, almost as chomer?
Okay, so we're going to see that, of course, even though the Aruch HaShulchan is presenting this to us as something which carries the weight of Nisim Midaraisa, it's, I don't want to spend too much time talking about Yisroel Midrabanan in general, but even other Yisroel Midrabanan, one of the ways that Rishonim understand it is similar to this concept, that Hashem gave the power to Chazal to institute certain things, include them in the mitzvahs. So here he's just saying it more explicitly. But again, the klal that we have always is that unless something's explicit in the Torah, or it's something which is learned from the one Yud Gimel Midas, one of the drushes that we can learn from a pasuk, those are the only things that are included in the Taryak. And the only time you're going to have skila, or you're going to have malchus for any one of those violations is going to have to be when it's really one of the taryag. Even though this carries the weight, in other words, the chazal were given rishus from Hashem to institute these gezeras, ultimately it still remains as a gezera that chazal put into place, you know, kind of with like the haskama of the Torah. So now we have two. We have two sources. Number one, there's Rashi who has this asmachta mikra. There's the asmachta which writes, you know, lo yi'asa, which implies that it can't be done by anybody. Number two, we have this concept of a shvus. Now we have something else. Rashi in Avodah Zarah, Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, he writes in Rashi Dibra Masal, Kivin de Zav Nakana. We're not going to get into the sugi over there. But at the end of that Rashi, he throws in, Umasha Asr li Yisrael Loimer Loivid Kechavim. Aseli Kach. This is a pasuk in Yeshaya. A lot of the halachas of dibor are learned from this pasuk. It's a business halachas, a lot of business discussions. What you can talk about, what you can't talk about on Shabbos. Simin Shin Vav and Shin Zayin in Shulchan Aruch very much are surrounded around this pasuk of Mitzvah Chefzacha V'Davar Davar. And it describes the whole scenario that happened over there. But ultimately, V'dabar Davar teaches us that certain things, there are certain utterances on Shabbos which are usher. And one of those, says Rashi, is asking somebody to perform a malacha for you on Shabbos. So that's the third source that we have so far, that is an isser, to ask someone to do malacha for you on Shabbos, even if for that person, it would be mutter for them to do that malacha on Shabbos. However, since for you it's Shabbos, it's usher to ask them to do that malacha. That's the third source. Now we have another one. It's source number 8.
I mean, so he's saying there the isser is from Dibur.
Midivrei Kabbalah, yeah.
I'm saying that because it's learned out from the pasuk Dabur.
Right, and since and there since are certain Dibur.
So this is a malacha through Dibur.
It's not a malacha, but it's an isser. In other words, this is an isser which is learned from Tanakh, not from the Torah aspect, from the Navi aspect of it. And that's considered Midivri Kabbalah, but that carries weight. It creates an Issa, but again, it's not an Issa Midaraisa. The fourth source we're going to have is a Mishnah in Shavuos Daf Kufnun Gimel and Aleph. It's the beginning of Perek Mishnah Hechshech. It describes a scenario where a person was traveling, and as he was traveling, it got dark. And the Mishnah writes, Mishnah Hechshech Badarech. A person was traveling, and it got dark as, in other words, Shabbos set in. Noisin Kisay Lenachri, he gives his wallet to a non-Jew. Vim Ein Imay Nachri, if there's no non-Jew there, Maneachai Al Chamari, he puts it onto a donkey. Gila Chatzar Achitzana, whatever, it discusses exactly what he to with his wallet, as he has this donkey or this non-Jew carry it to him back to the city. Now the Gemara asks the Shaila, "My time of Sharulei Rabbanan lemes of Kisulin Achri. Why is it that Chazal were matter a person to give his wallet to an Achri? In other words, the premise, the underlying premise of this of the Gemara is that it's asur to ask a guy to carry your wallet for you. It's an isur of Haitzah." So that being the case, why is it that this Mishnah says if a person's traveling and it becomes Shabbos, he's allowed to ask the non-Jew to carry his wallet for him? And the Gemara explains that it's impossible. Chazal understood that it would be impossible for a person just to leave his wallet along the side of the road. And the Gemara says, Eloi sharas le'asi le'suy arabam es'ris rabim. Chazal realized if we're not going to come up with a heter for him to give it to a non-Jew, what he's going to do is just carry it himself, which is far worse. Again, people are not going to, Chazal understood, the vast majority of people are not going to be able to hold themselves back from carrying their wallet full of money. Therefore, they were matar the isra of mirlachum. What's the problem? Rashi says, my time of sharu le'mesu le'nachri. What's the reason that we were matter him to give his wallet to a non-Jew. What's the problem? What would be the issue? Rashi explains, V'arehu shluchai lisa'enu b'shabbos. Rashi explains that the iser is, you're making him into a shliach. Now, we could spend a whole day discussing the concept of shlichus by a non-Jew. We know that when it comes to a Jew, there's a halacha called shluchai shaladim k'maisai. When a person does something for somebody else, he accomplishes that act as if the person himself did it. Now, we know there are certain exceptions to this. For example, you can't have someone put tefillin on for you because the mitzvah ataliyah beguf, a mitzvah that you need to do with your body, can't be done with someone else's body. Someone else can't shake a lulav for you, but a person can make kiddush, shemeya ka'ina. There are things a person can appoint someone to do for him. A person can ask someone to light his menorah for him. You can ask someone to light his Shabbos candles for him. There, in other words, the concept of shlichus is, if it's incumbent upon me to get something done, I can ask somebody else to do that for me, and it counts as if I did it myself. So now, what's the halach when I ask a non-Jew to do something? Does shlichus work? So the Gemara discussed this extensively in Bava Metzia with regard to ribbis. It's just not the place to discuss it right now. But ultimately, the way a lot of Rishayin and Paskin is that we are machmir on shlichus l'chumra. In other words, we won't rely on shlichus l'kula for a person to fulfill a mitzvah, for example, through the action of a non-Jew. That's something which we won't necessarily allow somebody to do. But l'chumra, that a person should not be able to ask a non-Jew to do something forbidden, for example, to lend money beribis, or to have him carry something for him on Shabbos, that would have been an iser of shlichus. We would be worried of shlichus l'chumra, and that would be the iser of asking a non-Jew to do malacha for you on Shabbos, because he is my shliach. I need the light to go on. It's aser for me to turn the light on Shabbos. So what do? I appoint a shliach to turn it on for me. The non-Jew turns it on for me, and I'm worried, says Rashi, that maybe he will be my shliach. He will have done the malacha on my behalf, which would be a problem. That's the fourth potential iser of Amir La'akum. And now we have the last one, says the Rambam. Asr loymer l'goy lasis lanu malacha b'shabbos. Afal pi, this Rambam is in Parak Vav Alach Aleph. Afal pi she'ene mitzuvah on Shabbos. Even though the non-Jew is not mitzuvah on Shabbos. V'afal pi she'amar loy mikoydem ha'Shabbos. Even if he told us to do it from before Shabbos. V'afal pi she'ene tzarech loysa melacha el achar Shabbos. Even if he doesn't need the melacha done until after Shabbos, he still can't ask him to do it on Shabbos. V'davar ze'asim medivrei seferim. Why? The Rambam explains it's asr to ask a non-Jew to do melacha for you on Shabbos. For what reason? Why? Because Shabbos will ultimately become cheap. Once I can ask a non-Jew to do everything for me, all I need is to have a hired non-Jew in my house, and I can do everything that I otherwise would have done just by asking him to do it. Now just look at Hagoyis Maimini on that Rambam. The Hagoyis Maimini goes back to what Rashi says. You're not allowed to give a non-Jew money to go buy something for you in the market. Why? If the non-Jew goes and makes a purchase for me on Shabbos, he went ahead and violated Shabbos for me by way of shlichus. By way of shlichus, I have violated Shabbos. So that's the way the Gemara's Maimon learns it. And now, I'm quoting this Chassam Sefer over here. The Chassam Sefer adds in something to this with regard to Shlichus. He has a problem with it. But ultimately, what he writes is, if you look at the last line in source number 12, he says, Hachanami atayra amra l'man yanuach. Part of what Shabbos requires is that a person will be restful on Shabbos. The yishbais evarei Yisrael lo shayach beivari goy shluchay kamosiv emes nachan adavar. The Chassam Sofer just wants to say that it can't be that there should be a problem of shlichus over here when it comes to a non-Jew, because Shabbos requires me physically resting, me physically stopping from doing something. So it can't be that I'm going to violate l'man yenuach while I'm resting in my bed with my feet up, and a non-Jew does the melacha for me. It can't be that his evarim, his body, in other words, the concept of shlichas lachomer is very nice, says Rashi. Says the Chasam Sofer. It's a very nice concept, the Shlichas Lachomra, that I can't have a non-Jew go ahead and violate an Isser for me because of Shlichas Lachomra. But that, says the Chasam Sofer, is not going to work on Shabbos because you can't be physically in violation of Laman Yanuach when I'm actually physically being Nach. So ultimately, the Shlichas issue gets a little bit sketchy. But just to sum it up, I put this tshuva from Ramesh, I'll go through it, the point of Ramesh in just a minute. I don't want to get into the details of this tshuva really so much right now. But if you look after that tshuva on the next page, there's a little header, it says Amir La'akum. I wrote, this is my handwriting, Yesh kama taimim makaris lisa Amir La'akum. There are numerous reasons and sources for Amir La'akum. Number one, Asmachta Mikra. So I'm calling it Asmachta. Of course, it's not going to be an Ismi Daraisa. And that is what the pasuk says, "Kom lachol le'asa u'pir shrasha fila de'acherim." The Ramban explains it's in esmachta. The next one is a shvus. We explain what a shvus was from the Aruch HaShulchan. It's this high-powered isur midrabanan. And then v'dabar davar. We have this concept of the psukim in Yishai, which discuss what a person can talk about and what a person may not talk about on Shabbos. And one of those can potentially be a person is not allowed to talk about malacha. And then there's Shlichas Lachumra, where the guy's Maimini goes for it. Some say for kind of doesn't go for it. We just mentioned that. And then there's what we have from the Rambam, that a person should not make Shabbos cheap. If a person has an issue to do malacha on Shabbos, and he just hires a man to stand there the whole time and do everything that he otherwise would have done, that's going to cheapen the whole Shabbos, and ultimately the walls of Shabbos are going to fall down. Now, just to show how far Rav Moshe went with this Rambam, this is a very famous tshuva for Rav Moshe. I think I've even quoted it in the past. But this, it starts in source number 13. Again, I'm not reading the whole thing because I don't want to go through all of it. But the shaila is as follows. Malacha hanasis b'shabbos aydei shayin Shabbos. Malacha, which is done through what we call a Shabbos clock. It's malas kvayd nechti ahuvi v'chavivi morena Rav Mordechai Tendler shlitzes. So this was a tshuva which was written to his grandson, Rabbi Tendler. And he writes as follows, the first underlined part. Hine, l'anias da'iti pashat sh'asr l'hatir zeh. Let's just look at the case. Take it back two lines. Hine b'dvar sh'aydei chashmal, through electricity. Efshaydei meira sh'ayis, through a clock, hanas l'kach, it's made for this purpose, sh'yami denu b'arav Shabbos, b'ayfen sh'yascha l'vashu l'machar. You'll set the clock up in a way that it will start cooking your food tomorrow. So you'll take a frozen piece of meat, for example, you put it into a pot, and you leave it in the pot on top of a fire, on top of an electric coil, and you'll have your Shabbos clock turn that coil on Shabbos, and it'll cook. It'll be ready just in time for your meal. In other words, He's talking to his grandchildren over here, discussing this concept of using a Shabbat clock to cook for you on Shabbos. He writes, "Hinei lani estaiti pashat she'asur lahatir zeh. It's asur to be matcha this. The harei ayidei meira shayis kazeh yechaylam lases kol hamalachas b'Shabbos v'chol batei acharoshes. Every factory could be run on Shabbos. Ve'ein l'chazilzel gadol l'Shabbos mizeh. Shabbos will not be desecrated any bigger than having everything on Shabbos is just going to turn on by way of a Shabbos clock." This is very interesting what he writes here. This is really the crux of Rav Moshe's tshuva. Ubarer shim hayazeh b'zman ha'tanoyim v'amiroyim. If the Shabbos clock would have existed in the times of Chazal, the Tanoim, the Amiroyim, the Mishnah, the Gemara, hayu oisrin zeh. There's no question there would have been a Mishnah which would have written it's asr to use a Shabbos clock. K'mayish asr amir la'akum itam zeh. In other words, he's saying, what's the Yisra Amir La'akum? It's a Zilzal Shabbos, exactly like the Rambam just wrote. Once you have a non-Jew who can do everything for you on Shabbos, your whole Shabbos goes away. Says Ramesha, there's a difference between a non-Jew doing it for you and having a Shabbos clock do it for you. Ultimately, it's the same thing. Whether a person does it or a machine does it, ultimately your whole Shabbos could be consumed by all kinds of malachas, just you happen to have circumvented turning the thing on. And he goes on further. He says it could be this is part of Amir al-Akum. Anyway, there's a lot in this tshuva. We'll get back to this tshuva in Mirtz Hashem. But ultimately, Rav Moshe was very, very against the use of a Shabbos clock. Whether Klal Yisrael accepted this tshuva or not, that's a different discussion. Again, we will get back to this tshuva as we continue discussing more halachas of Amir La'akum. But ultimately, what I'm bringing out from this tshuva is how Rav Moshe understood this of Amir La'akum. Similar to what the Rambam wrote to us, is that once we allow people to just kind of use this loophole of, I'm not doing it, my Shabbos clock did it. I'm not doing it, my next door neighbor did it. Your whole Shabbos could ultimately fall apart because what? Because you found a loophole. And that's what Chazal were trying to avoid. That's topic number one. So now we have pretty much five sources to tell us that yes, there is an isser to ask your non-Jew to do melacha on Shabbos.
Wasn't one of the reasons or that it was dafka the speaking aspect?
Yes. That would only, obviously, that would not work. That would not work. Yeah, Ramesh is obviously going with the Rambam. Correct. Now, the next thing I want to cover tonight, there's the last few sources over here, is that there's an isser of Hana from Isanach. In other words, we're going to get into this in great detail in the coming weeks to discuss when is there an isser Hana and when could we circumvent this. In other words, we know that we ask non-Jews to do things for us on Shabbos all the time. So we're going to understand where we get that from, under what circumstances it's mutter, under what circumstances perhaps we think it's mutter, but really it is usser. And then ultimately, even if I got past the problem of asking, in other words, I found a way to get the non-Jew to do it for me without asking. In other words, I circumvented the Amira. Take a classic case, Remiza. I went ahead and I gave a wink to the guy and he knew what I needed. So now what's the halacha? He turns on the light for me. Am I allowed to benefit from it? So the answer is going to be no. You're not allowed to benefit from it. So all this remiza really needs to be put into check to understand. Even when remiza works, how can I benefit from it? So we're going to get to that discussion, and hopefully the way we're going to introduce this, it's all going to make a lot of sense for us, and I'm really hoping to be able to give this over in a way where at the end you'll see that all the pieces in this puzzle really just click in beautifully and how they work. Let's see this. There's a Mishnah on Daf Kuf Chaf Bei Zomar Aleph in Maseches Shabbos. It says as follows: Nachish Hidlik Asaner Mishdamish Leir Yisrael. A non-Jew lights a candle. Why does he light the candle? For himself. He lights the candle because he himself, Mr. Non-Jew, wants light. The halacha is Mishdamish Leir Yisrael. A Jew is allowed to use that light. However, says the Mishnah right away, then Bishvil Yisrael Aser. If he turned it on or lit that candle for the Jew, it's Aser for the Jew to benefit from that light. And the Mishnah continues with other examples. Other examples of malacha that were done by a non-Jew for a Jew, and it's aser for the Jew to benefit from it. Now what's the isser? Why? A non-Jew is not mitzvah on Shvisa Shabbos. So why should there be any problem with me benefiting from it? The non-Jew is allowed to do it. He did it on his own. And he walks into this room. Imagine we're sitting in this room. It's Friday night and it's dark. And the non-Jew walks in and says, oh wow, it's so dark. He turns the light on. Guys, you need some light. He turns it on. Allah is, we can't read. We're not allowed to use that light. Why? What's wrong with it? So Tysus explains right away. Tysus explains it by way of kind of through Akasha. Now we did not yet learn the halachas of Maisa Shabbos, which are when a Jew violates Shabbos, what's the halacha? But let's just understand at this point there is a shita that's of the opinion that when a Jew violates Shabbos b'shegeg, it's mutter to benefit from it. If a Jew violates Shabbos unintentionally, by mistake, it's mutter for a person to benefit from that malacha. So Tosfos says, in source number 15, it's in Dibur HaMaskel, v'im b'shvil Yisrael aser, Tosfos asks the question, v'yaf agav di Yisrael ha-mavash b'shabbos b'shegeg yoichel, even though the halacha is that if a Jew himself cooks on Shabbos, by mistake you're allowed to eat it, we're not worried that if you're going to allow him to eat what he cooked by mistake on Shabbos, dilma asi levashuli b'mezid. Maybe they'll say, you know what? That's a good idea. I may as well cook on Shabbos. Look, I cooked myself a steak on Shabbos. It was by mistake, but you know what? It tasted really good. Maybe next week I'll do it on purpose. No one's going to do that. No one's going to be mechal Shabbos. Why do you cook? It's a skila of a chamer allah. Everyone knows that it's asr to do that. Aval benachri, ha'ayis v'l'tzarech Yisrael, ishar slay, if it's going to be mutter for a Jew to benefit from malacha which is performed by a non-Jew, asi lemeimer lenachri lasis b'shvilei. So Tosis explains the whole reason why you're not allowed to benefit from a malacha that a non-Jew does for a Jew is as a safeguard to the Isra Amir La'akum. Because if we allow somebody to benefit from a lacha which is done by a non-Jew for a Jew, nobody's going to say, you know what, that was good. That was a great idea. I may as well ask the non-Jew to turn it on for me. Now once he does that, he violates what we discussed earlier, the first half of tonight's shir, he violates the Isra Amir La'akum. So as a safeguard to the Isra Amir La'akum, which obviously Chazal felt very strongly about, because again, as we explained from the Rabbah and from Moshe, we don't want Shabbos to turn into any other day of the week, just by virtue of the fact that someone found a loophole. So Chazal said, even if you found that loophole, where it happened by itself, you can't benefit from the malacha. Why not? Because benefiting from the malacha will encourage you to ask him to do it again next time. That's the way Tosfos understands it. Look at source number 16. Tosfos says the exact same thing in Maseches Beitza, on Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis. The Gemara says, we start with the Gemara. Source 16 is the Gemara. Amar Papa Hilchasa Nachri Shevi Darin Li Yisrael B'Yantif. A non-Jew brings a gift for a Jew on Yom Tov, im yesh mi'ayse hamin b'mechubar aser, if that gift that he brought generally could be assumed that it was uprooted from the ground on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, in that case, it's aser for the person to benefit from it. Ule'erov nami asur b'chdei shiyasu. Not only is it aser on Yom Tov itself, you have to wait after Yom Tov the amount of time it takes to get this from the field. So clearly, if a non-Jew performs a malacha for a Jew, it's also to benefit from it. Why? Now here's what we have in Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi, right there, Chav Dalet Amud Beis, Maseches Beitza, Rashi says, L'erva Asur B'chdei Shiyasu. Why? K'dei Shlo Yehena Malachas Yantav. This is very important. Rashi understands the reason why you cannot benefit from a malacha done for a Jew by a non-Jew is because there is an inherent problem of benefiting from malacha which is done on Shabbos. Even if it was done by a non-Jew. Since ultimately it was a malacha, you can't benefit from it. Now Rashi is going to have a problem because of what we mentioned earlier. If a Jew does a malacha b'shagig on Shabbos, it's mutter, at least according to one shita. We'll get to this. It's mutter. Now that's malacha on Shabbos. So how is Rashi going to understand that? So the way Rashi understands the Gemara in Chulin discusses this, the Rishonim in Chulin discusses it, the way Rashi understands it in Chulin is that it's loy shchiach. Since it's loy shchiach that a Jew will violate Shabbos, even b'shoigeg, so the Chazal weren't geyser. But it is shchiach for a person to ask a non-Jew to do malacha for him. So the way Rashi understands it is that a malacha which is done on Shabbos carries within it an iser to benefit from it on Shabbos. For no other reason, other than the fact that it's a malacha, and we don't want people benefiting from malacha which is done on Shabbos. That's the way Rashi understands it. But Tosfos understands it exactly like we explained. Tosfos says the same thing over there. In Maseches Beitza, Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, the last few lines in that Tosfos, which are underlined here, in Cain, he's asking Kasha on Rashi. The reason why you're not allowed to benefit from it is not because of what Rashi said. Al karchach laila haruoya lasiya kamar. So Tosfos says the same thing he told us in Maseches Shabbos. He says the same thing over here. That the halacha is a person is not allowed to benefit from a halacha which is done by a non-Jew for a Jew. Why? Because we're concerned that he'll ask him to do it. So even if the non-Jew voluntarily walks into a room and turns the light on for us on Shabbos, we didn't ask him, we didn't even imply that we wanted the light on. He just turned it on for us, the halacha is, it's us to benefit from it. Why, says Tosfos? The reason is, because I may ask him to do it. If I may ask him to do it, Chazal didn't want us to benefit from it. Now this reasoning is going to be so important to keep in mind, because The logic really is going to determine the halacha in so many cases. Let's say for some reason or another, I won't ask him to do it. So then it would be mutter. Let's talk about another case. Let's say asking him to do it would be mutter. In other words, we're going to list off in one of the future shiurim a whole list of rishayim who discuss which case it's mutter to ask a guy to do malacha for you on Shabbos. Now, if it's mutter to ask him to do the malacha, it would stand to reason that if he does the malacha for you, you could benefit from it. Because what would be the logic not to? Maybe I'll ask him? I'm allowed to ask him. So this reasoning is a very important reasoning. In other words, if the whole reason why I can't benefit from malacha done by a non-Jew for a Jew on Shabbos is because maybe I'll ask him, that is going to be the measuring stick that we're going to use to decide whether I'm allowed to benefit from it. We're going to get to these cases in greater detail, but that's very important to keep that in mind. Now just an interesting point over here. The Magen Avraham . Okay, let's just skip that for now because we mentioned it in passing. Now let's look at the Mishnah Brura, Simin Shinyan Chesiv Katan Hay. Again, Simin Shinyan Chesiv is the simon which discusses the halachas of cooking. But the first sif over there, the Mechaber discusses what happens if someone is Mechal Shabbos B'mezid, B'shegin, all those different cases. Now, Mutzul Mutzul Shabbos Miyad. The Mishnah Brura is as follows: If a field Mishnah is bashed by Shvilai, Tlei Beinu Lahati Bchteshiyasu El B'Malcha Nasas Adei En Yehudi. Look at this: Tlei Beinu Lahati Bchteshiyasu. You don't have to wait the amount of time it takes to get the malacha done. Ella, unless B'Malcha Hanasas Adei En Yehudi B'Shvil Yisrael, unless it's a malacha that a non-Jew did for a Jew, you don't have to wait Bchteshiyasu after Shabbos. Why? Mishum the kal be'ein of Isser d'amira. The Isser of Amira, la'ov de gilulim, is very light in people's eyes. V'yavoy lasos kein pamacheres. Maybe if I can benefit from the malacha that the non-Jew did for me on Shabbos, or even after Shabbos I'm benefiting from it because he saved me time, then I'll ask him to do it again the next week. Why? K'dei shiyeh muchal b'masay Shabbos miyad. Aval, something which is done through the hands of a Jew, we never have to worry that if a Jew does malach for somebody on Shabbos, either let's just say b'shegig in this case, we don't have to worry that you'll ask him to do the malacha. Says Mishnah Brura, it's very important to understand the reason why you can't benefit from a malacha done by a non-Jew on Shabbos. You can't benefit from it on Shabbos. You can't benefit from it after Shabbos, within the amount of time it takes to get that malacha done. Why? Because we don't want you asking him to do it next week. In other words, if we allow a person to benefit from malacha done by a non-Jew, then next week he'll ask him to do it. Now, let's say a Jew performs a malacha by mistake. Can I benefit from it immediately after Shabbos? Yes. Because what do I have to worry about? Next week I'll ask the Jew to do it? Mishnah Brura says there's two problems with that. Number one, the nisr of lifnei iver. I can't ask you, like the Ramban pointed out earlier, I can't ask a Jew to go ahead and do a malacha for me on Shabbos. Number two, even if I ask him, well, Yishmala, you won't listen to him. Guy walks over to you on Shabbos and says, do me a favor, could you cook a steak? Very nice that you asked. It's just not going to work.
So if someone's Mekayim Shabbos super early.
Okay, we're going to get there. Okay. We're going to get there because those halachas are very different. Okay, if someone's Mekayim Shabbos super early, just in a nutshell, if someone's Mekayim Shabbos early, or if a person is, he keeps a very long shear after Shabbos. And other Jews either weren't yet Mekabel Shabbos or made Abdullah. In those cases, besides for one cheat of the Levush, it's Mutter, the way we pass it is it's Mutter asking him to do Malacha. We'll explain exactly why that's different. But an interesting difference that comes out over here is the Prima Gadol points out, source number 21, this is in Siman Reish Ayin Vav Siv Katan Hey, he declares, Aval Kadesh Yas B'Mumr Tzarech Iyan, someone who's not Shemar Shabbos. So what happens if someone, a non-observant Jew, performs a malacha few on Shabbos? Perhaps he should have the halacha of a non-Jew. You know why? Because Mishnah Berurah says, lo yishmala, he won't listen to him. This guy will listen to you, he can care less.
But he's still
an Iver. Lifnei Iver. Now, Lifnei Iver is very interesting, because Lifnei Iver, there's a, I think that's really what his suffix comes down to. In other words, if the Isser to ask a Jew if the reason why we're not worried about benefiting from a malacha of a Jew is because by asking him you overlift the Iver, so there is a problem with the Iver to ask a mummer. Why? Because even though there's a concept in the halachas of lifting the Iver, there's a concept called chad avradinara and trey avradinara. That means the literal translation is it one side of the river or two sides of the river? It's talking about a nazir. And a person gives a nazir wine. So now if there is more wine on this side of the river, it's easily accessible to him. He's drinking wine anyway. So there's no issue with the Iver to give it to him. Because he didn't need me. I'm not the stumbling block. He's drinking wine anyway. But if the only place you can get wine is from the other side of the river, and I'm the one to facilitate it, that's Lifnei Iver. So now, by a person who's not observant, is there an issue of Lifnei Iver to ask him to be Mechal Shabbos? Seemingly not, because he's driving anyway. But there's an added problem. One of the Yisurim of Lifnei Iver is called to give somebody Eitzah She'eino Hegenes. Give somebody a bad idea. That's an Isser of Lifnei Iver. You know, it's something you have to be very careful about, because sometimes, you know, it comes up in business sometimes where, you know, you don't want someone to benefit from something because you'll benefit if he isn't. So he'll ask you something, giving him a bad piece of advice, even though you've done nothing. That's an Isser Midrash of Lifnei Iver. So going over to a person, and that's relevant even betray avradinara, or bechad avradinara, betray avradinara. In other words, even if the guy is b'mechal Shabbos anyway, for me to go over to a non-Jew and say, "Hey, you know what? Why don't you turn a lighter for me?" I just gave him a bad idea, and that's also either way. So, getting back to this, if it's only because of the issue of Lifnei Iver, so there still is an issue of Lifnei Iver, so I won't ask the non-Jew to, I won't ask the Jew to do malacha for me on Shabbos. And generally you find this, you find most people have that sensitivity, that even if someone's not Shomer Shabbos, you won't ask him to do something for you on Shabbos. He's a Jew. So mitzad Lifnei Iver, a person won't ask a non-observant Jew to do malacha for them on Shabbos, and therefore there's no problem to benefit from what they do, even b'shegig. But because of the reason of Layishmalai, he definitely will listen to you. So in such a case, that would still make it awesome. So ultimately, the Prima Gadim is mistopic if a mummer, someone who's not a non-observant Jew, has a din of a guy with this regard. Now just to summarize very quickly, as we started in the beginning, Amir Lakum is not a heter. Amir Lakum is an isser. In other words, the default would have been that it's mutter, it's aser for me to do malacha on Shabbos, but the default would have been it's mutter for a non-Jew to do malacha for me on Shabbos. Chazal, for a number of reasons, we listed five reasons, and either it's an asmachta mikra, or it's a shvus, or possibly it's shlichus l'chumra, maybe it's an iser of dabar davar, or it's like the Rambam writes, it's shalait tei Shabbos kala be'enov, the whole Shabbos shouldn't become cheap. All those five reasons tell us why Chazal instituted this very, very chumr iser of Mir al-Akam, not to ask a non-Jew to do malacha for us on Shabbos. To fortify that, to make sure that you won't have a non-Jew do malacha for you on Shabbos, Chazal said not only is it asr to ask him, it's also asr to benefit from anything a non-Jew does for you on Shabbos. That being the case, that's going to be our yardstick that we're going to use to determine whether or not a person can benefit from malacha on Shabbos. Will I ask him in the future? So we're going to see, in many cases, and this is where Amir al-Akam gets interesting, anytime the Isser of Amir al-Akam comes up, we're going to have to always answer for ourselves two questions. In other words, anytime something happens, your air conditioning is not working, you need it to be turned on. Your fire is not on your stove, or the light is off, or whatever it might be, that you want the non-Jew to do for you on Shabbos, anytime you want to determine, is it mutter to ask him, is it osur to ask him, we have to get around two things. Number one, there's an isur to ask a non-Jew to do malach on Shabbos. What heter do you have to do that? So that's going to be number one. Number two, even if I found a heter to get me away from a mir lakum, is it mutter for me to benefit from the malacha? Sometimes they're going to be linked and automatically connected, but in cases where I could not find a heter for my amir lakum, and therefore what I did was I circumvented it. Example, remiza. So I didn't violate amir lakum. I didn't say anything to him, but how could I benefit from the malacha? And we're going to have to discuss, we're going to discuss in great detail in the coming weeks how we're going to get around all those issues and which times it's going to be mutter, which time is going to be awesome. All right, have a great night.